Hi, this is John Costa, and we're here in Phnom Penh in Cambodia on our research trip for a DMU global trip, hopefully later on in 2018 and early 2019. I'm with my colleague, Dr. Rob Watson. How are you, Rob?
Good, thank you.
Cool. So have you enjoyed the trip?
I'm exhausted. It's been...
Luckily, there's no photos with this because you look terrible.
I know, I just know how to fake, a smile every time. No, it's been fascinating and it's been scary, and it's been not scary in a bad way, but kind of just that culture clash kind of, you have to have your wits about you to know, this is the first time I've ever been to Cambodia, so you have to have your wits about you in terms of, you know that the misstep and you can go wrong quite easily, so keeping that steady pace. And kind of just double checking things, learning that one of the things that you have to do is that you can't rely on things to be communicated and translated in the same way and understood in the same way as we would make assumptions at home. So those kind of things have been really fascinating.
Now, I know you've been to Southeast Asia before, haven't you, sir, to Thailand. Do you think that any visit to a Southeast Asian country prepares you for the region, or did you find it quite different?
Very different in Cambodia compared to Thailand. Less tech, but more smiles in a way. I mean, it sounds daft to say that. It's kind of, my recollection of Bangkok is the amount of technology that you can buy and the amount of kit that you can get access to. Here, it's the other way around. There's kind of, we were looking for earlier, we were looking around the Russian market, and you can get any parts to fix a moto. That you want, but it's, there's nobody selling laptop components. So the power adapter on my laptop died, and I can't replace it while I'm here. So one of the lessons is to bring it back up.
Hmm. So from a documentary media point of view, because we were talking about expanding on the Doc Media Festival that we run in Leicester in November, to doing one overseas as well. So we've been talking to the American University here at Phnom Penh about it. What's quite interesting is the opportunity to do that sort of documentary media centre that we'd run at the High Cross in the Watt space for a couple of years is really alive and well here, isn't it? Because all those sort of old projectors and the ability to use OHPs and stuff is quite interesting.
You'll find somewhere that's got a lock-up or shop that's just full of old equipment that gets brought in, recycled, upcycled, and resold. So that means that there's a real sense of possibility for things that we used to assume that we could access in the UK, but no longer can because they're no longer readily available, but may be available here in different ways. So it's just that exploring those kind of things is going to be fascinating, I think.
And the ability to use old equipment as well that maybe would no longer have a life, say, in the UK here, it's that kind of make-do and upcycle, recycle, being able to use it?
Yeah, well, I think, one of the... We visited the Genocide Museum at... I'm only learning my pronunciation.
Tool Sling.
And it's of its time in terms of the media that was captured and that was used by... the Khmer Rouge regime to do what they did, but it's also fascinating to think about what kind of equipment and what kind of dark rooms, what kind of material capabilities they had to capture all these photographs that they did of people and confessions. So that, even on that level, the type of equipment that people use is, there is a fascinating story to be told about the process of mediatization of terror in a sense as well. So you can look at this on so many levels and in so many ways, and it's counterintuitive to many of the ways that we now take for granted how we do things using our phones and being able to be online continuously, those kind of things.
When I look at the documentary media for learning, which is sort of film, photography, audio, and new media, and there they all come together at the intersection of being able to tell stories by using these different sort of mediums and technologies. When people say to me, what do you mean by new media? Yes, I mean Flipboard and Pinterest and YouTube and stuff, but also it's because of these new technologies that people are able to go back and maybe digitize. As they said at the Genocide Museum, people are done with all of those photographs now in order for them to be available on the website for you to search through the detainees, where you look at a picture, it tells you their age, hopefully their name if it's known, their nationality, and then you go into their record. So the new technologies actually allow you to not just keep moving forward, but actually go back and take some of the stuff that's maybe getting broken.
Yeah, it's, I think what it does is the real impact for that is not necessarily the transfer of an image onto a screen-based technology, although that's important. It's the connection with a database, so that you actually, you know, there's a kind of live connection. So what you can actually do is you could research that person and you could find out what family network connections, what people they were connected to, their personal network, and you can make that connection much more easily. So you can kind of data mine it, if you like. So once you've established the archive, then you can piece it together and you can connect it in ways, and maybe patterns come out of this that we hadn't previously recognized from the initial, you know, analog search through this material. One of the things that digitization can do is kind of give us an insight into, you know, as we're seeing with the controversy about Facebook at the moment and the way that they data mine and, you know, collect and use for their data for their purposes to sell advertising and political communication. Maybe this can be used in more of a way for archival and the crime scene, the criminology. What was the, we talked about this, there's a word for it, I've completely gone blank, the investigation process for crimes.
Sort of forensic, that's the word I'm looking for,
the forensic evidence. And that actually, once you've digitised it, you can start to see connections and links in ways which weren't otherwise possible.
And I suppose across all those things of film, photography, audio, new media, it throws up quite a lot of interesting opportunities as well to get research in partnership with the American University of Phnom Penh and De Montfort University. I mean, one of the forms that you're looking to put in those three bids you were talking about, the Global Research Fund, that's to do with that, isn't it, Global Development Fund?
Yeah, just to start the process, really, to see if there's something here, to think about what questions we should be asking. You know, any kind of research process has to have some anticipation of where we're leading with the questions. So you have to be able to kind of think more generally about it, but then put it into a framework of a question to say, you know, what would we like to do as an ongoing further, maybe a more longer term study. And having we could not have grasped the nature and the sense of scale and the kind of links and relationships that need to be built had we not visited and met people and experienced it for ourselves on those multiple levels. So being here is absolutely vital.
Lovely. Cheers, Rob.